chapter 2, right? Verses 14 through 16, is that right? Who wants to confirm that for me? Is that where we at? Yeah, that's where we at. Everybody that I know, including myself, we've got something going on, and something that we really not too fond of that's going on. We just wondering why it's going on, wish we can just get rid of it, right? And when we can't seem to find ourselves getting rid of it, we find ourselves talking about it, and not just talking about it, we are doing what? Complaining about it, right? You know, Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, the verses we're getting ready to study, he uses this one word, and I'm sure as you read it, you've saw that word over and over again. That word is complain, right? You saw that when you read that? Who didn't see that? Everybody saw that? What is it that you've complained about just today? How about yesterday? How about what is it you're going to complain about once you leave out of here? You know, Paul said that we should not complain about anything, and he said that from the backdrop of the fact that he was in jail, right? He was in jail. Let's read what he says here in these three verses here. Verses 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. So that pronoun is missing right there, right? You, that's an individual direction. You do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and that you may be harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or even labored in vain. So complaining says one thing to me, well, more than one, but right now it says that if I complain that I'm running my race in vain, if I complain I'm just laboring in vain, much to no avail at all, right? Exodus chapter 15, we know the story, right? God has just delivered the people from Egyptian slavery, and he caused the Red Sea to rise up and to part itself so that the people would walk across on dry land. Because as a result of them leaving in Egyptian slavery, they were pursued by the army of Pharaoh. The Egyptian army was coming after them. There was an army on one side, there in the middle, and the Red Sea on the other side. How are you going to escape that? How are you going to get out of that? So it also says that once they crossed the Red Sea on dry land, they looked around, they looked behind them, and all they saw were the Egyptians just dead on the seashore. They were just dead. And then in verse number 5, chapter 22, verse number 15, I want you to read that and just look at that. Just let me just wrap this around your mind here. Exodus chapter 22 and verse number 15. Somebody read that and tell me what it says. Exodus 15, verse 22. Guys, is it Jack? Read that for me. Chapter 15, verse 22. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
After the Israelites left the Red Sea, Moses led them throughout the Shur desert for 3 days before finding water. They did find water at Meribah, but it was bitter, which is how the place got its name. The people complained and said, Moses, what are you going to drink? Moses asked the Lord for help, and the Lord told him to throw a piece of wood into the water. Moses did so, and the water became fit to drink.
All right, you can stop right there. Let's say that today, God comes in and does something miraculous for us, just this day that we can all see with our eyes, and we get a deliverance like we've never experienced before in our lives. On Wednesday, 3 days later now, we forget all about that. And we start complaining about something that's been in our craw for a long time. We just flat out complain. Okay, you've just been delivered from death. You was able to walk across dry ground. And now God is supplying. Listen, why would God bring them out of Egyptian slavery just to let them die in the desert? That evidently was not their mindset, right? But what is our mindset this morning as God blesses our lives continually and effectively every waking moment of our lives, and we still wake up, and the first thing we do is what? That's that C word now. Not even 3 days, Sister Jackson. This was 3 days, right? And here we go. I'm just laying it out there. So what is it in our lives that we complain about? We complain about something, right? There's two things that we do that God tells us not to do, and we do it all of the time. One of them is complain. Can somebody tell me what the other one is? Yes. Why? You change anything? You know what Paul said to the church of Corinth? He says, I got this thing in my side, right? It's in my side, and Lord, I want you to take it away from me because it's just killing me. What is it in your life that you want God to take away from you that he hasn't, and all you do is chop him up every day of your life because he hasn't taken it away? Chopping him up. I chop him up for some things. The Egyptians had a problem, and God solved the problem for them in a miraculous way. He even turned that bitter water into sweet water for them. Right? Can you imagine that? But they still grumble and complain. They didn't die in Egypt. We didn't die in the world. God delivered us from the world into the kingdom of his dear son. And almost, if not immediately after that, we find ourselves complaining to God about something in our lives. Why is that? Why is it? Well, one thing I want to say to you is that Paul said in Philippians 2:14, which is crystal clear to all of us, do all things without grumbling or complaining. And again, I ask the question, what have you complained about just today? Just today. We grumble against God because of the lives that we live. It might be our job. We complain about that, right? Oh, man, I sure hate Mondays. That's how we start that out. That's a complaint, isn't it? But when that paycheck comes around, man, we don't complain about that unless we're not getting what we think. And nobody's getting what they think they ought to get, right? Maybe it's our job. Maybe it's our marriages that we just don't sit and converse about. Instead, we complain over and over and over again. Adam did that with his marriage, right? God says, what you doing? He said, well, you know this woman you gave me? And we say the same things. You know, this guy you gave me, maybe we complain about what we never have enough of, and that's money, right? We never have enough of possessions. Never have enough of that, right? But Paul says, you do all things without grumbling or disputing. And to me, that's a game changer. Because if we were ever to sit around and think about that seriously, before we open up our mouths to complain, we should be grateful to God for where we are at this particular point in our lives. Because how did we get there? Not on our own, right? And we didn't get there complaining either. Complaining never solved not one problem. Unless somebody helped me. Steve got some sort of complaining, right? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Everything we do, Paul says, and listen, he says, everything we do must be done without complaining. He says, count others more significant than yourself without grumbling or disputing. Well, I can't count this guy better than me, because if he's going to heaven, then I must be going too because of what he... Don't we consider and we grumble about that too? Look at him. Look at her. Why am I... We do the wars mean we throw the pity party thing. But listen, Christ says, look at the world that I have made, and why should I sacrifice myself for them? No grumbling from Christ, no complaining from Christ. He just came down to this earth and he saved us from ourselves. And Christ is asking us to sacrifice ourselves without grumbling or complaining, just like he did. Because Isaiah puts it right out in 53, right? He says he was mute, he was silent, did all those things to him, and they crucified him. No grumbling. Did he have a right to? Listen, they could have just took my robe. That was it. Left me naked. I'm done. I'm out of there. Because I know what you got coming for me next. Crown of thorns? I'm sitting there bleeding? Striking me with a rod. How about slapping me in the face? How about spitting on me? What? His own creation. And he never grumbled or complained. But you know what we do? We sit around and we talk about those Israelites who complain and never realizing that we are the spiritual Israel today. We're the exact same people doing the exact same things to the one true God who gives us everything for life and godliness, doesn't he? Everything. So we need to kind of just readjust our hearts and our minds and strengthen our hearts so that we can see that we've experienced a far greater deliverance than the children of Israel. We've got more prosperity and wealth, right? And even though we've got more prosperity and wealth, and we know the truth of the gospel that we sometimes hold on to over and against ourselves by not sharing it with anybody else, right? Even though we do that, some Christians are the most discontent people in the world. Am I not right? So we have to figure out what it is that we are not happy with when God gives us everything that we need. We're going to find something not to be happy with. It's supposed to clean the house and somebody walks through with their finger and there's dust on the picture. Oh, it's over with. House is spotless except for that, and it's over with because you didn't do the job right. What is that? What is it? What is it about forgiveness that we just can't get a hold to? We complain before we give, before we forgive. Prosperous people, rich in every way that God has blessed us in. And when something doesn't go the way I want it to go, Katie barred the door. I'm coming at you. Coming at you, B, and I'm going to let you know. You know what? You didn't do this right. I could have done it myself, right? Let me tell you what happens. When we complain and we grumble, you know what Paul says we do? We turn our anger over against the Lord because we don't get everything that we want or desire that's coming to our hearts. That's what the Israelite nation did, right? We're talking about right now, right? They grumbled and complained against the Lord. Think about who you're grumbling and complaining against. You think you're grumbling and complaining against that person sitting next to you or the one that you're working with or whatever the circumstance might be. But we're grumbling and complaining against the blessings that God has given to us, not realizing that those things call us home. It's calling us home. He said it there for a reason, for you, all right? You know what Paul says to me when I look at this and I see what he says about this? In my mind comes the word poison. Because that's what grumbling is. It's poison because, again, it's an accusation against God and his provision for us, whether you realize it or not. That's what it's an accusation again. Well, God, you're not doing this for me or doing that for me. You've had children who've complained about their circumstances. You've had. And what did you say? Stop complaining. Because you have this and you have that. And then we say, you didn't do nothing for this. I. And you don't own nothing in this house. I. And when you leave, don't take anything because you didn't buy it. I. All right? God says, I need you to look at that picture. You have never provided yourself with anything, not even life. Not even life. And you complain against the provisions that I've given you, right? It's a complaint against the declarations of God in our lives, against his goodness. That's what it is. We love that scripture that we're going to take on later on in the book of Philippians. That I'm content with what? In any situation. We love that scripture. But do you believe that? Do you practice that? Do you live that? Because we're so unhappy with a lot of things. And most of the things that we're unhappy with, listen, you can look around this room or even out there in the world. Most people are unhappy with their present circumstances. Why? Because they're never satisfied. Right? It's never enough. I want you to consider this, because we never do. And we all in the same boat. We all do the same things. We're not going to criticize each other for complaining, because we all do it. But we can sit and we can discuss it and we can learn exactly what it does or doesn't do for our lives. Right? We got to consider it, because choosing to complain is just what it is. It is a choice. We don't have to do it. Who's got to do it in here? Who's got to complain about something? Here comes the waiter. They didn't make that steak for you, but they set it there for you, and you take a bite out of it, and what you start doing? I'm not paying for this. It isn't like the way I wanted it to be. What? That's the bees with honey thing, right? Anything. I'm paying good money for what? Why can't I get what I want? I'm paying. We are paying absolutely nothing for the salvation that comes from God. Not one thing. And we sit, and not purposely, but we complain and we dispute about our salvation as it relates to God. Because when we do that, we discontented with what he's done in our lives. And salvation is a wonderful thing. Boy, I tell you, it's wonderful. Paul said, 4:11, I've learned to be content, right? That's what he said. We hadn't even gotten there yet. Have you learned that? Have we learned that? Have I learned to be content in the circumstance I'm in right now? Because I'm telling you, sometimes I choose not to be happy with where I'm at and what I'm doing. I do. You got something? You raise your hand or you just... Go ahead.
I think one of the reasons is because we have our minds set on earthly things rather than spiritual things.
Exactly.
So as long as you are worldly minded or materialistic, you know, you can always see something else you want, and we gripe and complain. But when we think we should be thinking spiritually, we can't say anything because God has given us everything.
And
the salvation of our soul.
And you know what? We look at other people and we're bitter about the things they're enjoying. Because we're not enjoying them.
Envious, jealous.
Yeah, yeah. It's a heart. Right. It's poison. Complaining. It's a heart of poison. Right. And we enjoy it.
Focusing our mind on the spiritual things.
Exactly. It's a spiritual ride. That's all it is. It's a spiritual ride. But we have fleshly minds, don't we? Yeah, we do. We do. Let me ask you this. Do your parents owe you anything? Anybody in here can tell me, do their parents owe them anything? No? What does God owe you? Does God owe us anything in this life? And if he does, tell me exactly what it is. Because while we are here on this earth in this life, God is doing everything for us. Everything. Not being shortchanged for anything. Not being slighted for anything.
Walk by the Spirit. So I don't think it's necessarily all the time. You know, I mean, there are some people that are disgruntled and stuff, but some things I think, at least I can speak for myself, are circumstantial. You know, where I'm in a moment where, oh, I've had enough. I've been cursed out on the phone all day, you know, from veterans and stuff, and I'm just, I've had enough. And then, you know, and I know that there's a situation that can actually change the situation, because the complaint is the same thing. They're complaining about the same thing, but nobody changes it. And so my complaint is, where are the people that can change this? You know what I'm saying? And that's where my so it's circumstantial.
Two more things before we move on to verse 15. Somebody get ready to read verse 15 for me, but I'm going to hit two more points here. Here's what grumbling and disputing does for us. It's saying that God owes us something that he is not providing at this particular point in our lives. And what is more important in life? He's providing us with that. And everything comes as a result of that. That's what we're saying. And you know what else it does for us? I want you to know what grumbling and complaining does, discontentment does. It takes us out of fellowship with God. Takes us out of fellowship. Remember Luke 15? We talk about the brother that left. But the brother that was there, he was out of fellowship with his father. Because what was he doing the whole while? Grumbling and complaining. You did this for him, you did that for him, and I've done this and I've done. Took him right out of fellowship with his father. And that's us. We the one that stayed home, right? We didn't leave. None of us have left and have to crawl back, right? But we stayed home and we complained and we made it hard. Our father had listened to that every single day of his life until the son came back. And even when he came back, he heard more of it. Out of fellowship with God. Sitting in his house. Got a key. Come in and go when you want. But you stand up against him in his own house. It's hard, boy. Look, when a child stands up to you in your house, you know you want to just kill him, don't you? Yeah. Because what you say, the first thing you say, you don't appreciate nothing I've done for you. You got a good life, and I've given it to you.
Go ahead. Well, I believe it really just steals our joy when we running around griping and complaining. You know, we are miserable, and it is something that we're doing for ourselves. We're not counting our blessings. We're not thanking God for our existence and for the salvation of our soul. So that would make us ungrateful. And that is something that's a serious thing, to be ungrateful for what God has done and what Jesus has sacrificed and all the blessings that he's
given. You throw all that out the window.
But we want those to be material blessings. We don't want it to be spiritual blessings. When we have that attitude, We need to repent and change.
We want tangible. We want tangible. And God is not tangible because he is unseen, right? Who's seen God? Who's seen him? And getting back to the point about your children and how they reason up against you, listen, it's incredible because we declare ourselves, when we raise up against God, not to be a child of God. Read verse 15 for me, somebody. You got that? Ready? Read 15. Chapter 2, 15. Philippians.
You may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world.
Children of God. Are we children of God or are we not? Everybody in here, no matter what their parents have put them through, appreciate their parents. And nobody else can't say nothing bad about them. Even though your parents might have treated you bad, you're not going to let nobody else talk bad about them. I can tell you that. Right? But are we really children of God? Because Paul says that God changes our lives so we can become two things, blameless and innocent. Children of God without blemish, perfect in Christ, right? But grumbling and complaining shows that we're not children of God, that we're not blameless and we're not innocent. And we find ourselves dwelling with this same crooked and twisted world that we live in. And we grumble and complain. We become one with them because that's all they do, right? It's like going down Bourbon Street doing Mardi Gras. Once you get in that crowd, you go where the crowd goes, doesn't you? You flow where the crowd flows. And sometimes you can't get out of it, right? You flow where they flow. So why be in that particular situation? Why not live our lives out? As he said last week, working out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Working it out, not grumbling or complaining. Get to work. Stop complaining. Let's get to work. Let God do it for you because we live in a crooked and twisted world, right? We shouldn't be living like that, right? Let me read this scripture to you right here because this is what Paul is quoting. When you go and you look up and research this is what Paul is talking about. Right here, Sister Jackson, I see you writing it. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 4 and 5. This is where he gets the quote from, right? He say, the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is he. They have dealt corruptly with him. They are no longer his children because they are blemished. They are a crooked, twisted generation. God is faithful. He is faithful and just. However, as his creation, as the people in this world, we deal with God corruptly. And we do that, we are no longer his children. We become blemished, right? Grumbling and complaining, Paul says, means that we are no longer children of God. And it's something, as a brother said, that we need to take that seriously. But we're pretty nonchalant with that because we just so used to complain about everything. Even the simple things. Man, you know, I left these red beans on too long. Now it's burnt at the bottom. I got to throw all the red beans away. Anybody ever burnt their red bean? And you complain about it because you got to run out and you got to get a whole new batch of beans. You got to cook them again, right? We don't want to be blemished. We don't want to find ourselves in tune with this crooked and twisted generation. We got to take this seriously because grumbling disqualifies us from fellowship with God. It does. And when you grumble and complain, the root of that is that your faith is less than what it ought to be when it comes to serving God. Let me tell you why Israel grumbled. I'll tell you one of the reasons why they grumble. It's the same reason why we grumble because remember, we're spiritual Israel. And we can talk about Israel all we want, but we got to look in that mirror and see we are spiritual Israel. They grumbled and complained because they did not trust God. And God has never given us a reason not to trust him. I mean, I'm sitting right here. I'm on the edge of the Red Sea. I'm looking behind me, and they got people coming to kill me, wipe me out. And God says, I got you going across over there on dry land. Make these waters red. Look, when one drop of water would have raised, that would have been enough for me. At least that's what I think. And in dry ground, over on the other side, I mean, somebody help me with my faith. Help me with mine. Because grumbling and complaining uproots your faith because we do not trust God to care for us. A lot of things we try to do on our own, and we don't realize it's not us that's doing it. It's just the grace of God that allows us to do it. And it's our own selfish pride and selfish ambition that allows us to raise our voice and say, look what I've done. You know what the answer to that is? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Remember that class? Nothing. Nothing. We need proper perspective in all those things so we don't get out of line with God. And that's all Paul is saying. No, don't get out of line with God, right? I mean, when Peter stood up with the 11 in Acts chapter 20, he said, save yourself. Chapter 2 and verse 40, he says, save yourself from this crooked generation. So they ain't just get crooked and perverted. They been out there, right? Moral darkness. No direction for their lives. They exclude God and they distort the truth of the gospel every single time. Right? Isaiah said that too in Isaiah chapter 5. He says, you know what we do when we complain and grumble? He says, we regard goodness and truth as evil and we claim the evil to be good and the good to be evil. That's what Isaiah said. So our good becomes evil, and don't let your good be looked at as evil. Because people hear you and they see you. They're gonna say, what? Isn't that the guy that goes to the church? Isn't that the, didn't he just talk to me 2 weeks ago? Wait a minute. And they hold it against you all the time, forgetting that we all sin and fall short of God's glory, right? So let's repent and get that in order. We gotta repent and we gotta take that seriously. And it's these little small things that we got to think about because it's not the big things that break up a relationship, right? It's always the little small things that you take and you put on the side and all of a sudden, like she said, you just, bam, you just blow up with it. It's been affecting your relationship the whole time. You've just been sweeping it under the rug. And now you've gotten to a breaking point. Why should you get to a breaking point? Why can't you have a conversation about it? Why can't your relationship be such that you put that person above your own self? That's what Paul is talking about right here. Think about what he's saying. We are lights to the world. Nobody gonna complain about lights unless they got problems with their eyes, bright lights, and they put shades on to kind of cover that. But everybody likes to be in light, right? Some people prefer darkness over light, but the Bible says those who are in darkness, they prefer the darkness because they're living in darkness. You know what I'm talking about? We mess up the light when we complain. Becomes a little bit dim. Starts blinking a little bit, you know. And when we get it right, it just pops on and just stays on. Because we lights. Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations of the world, but they didn't do that. It was supposed to be a blessing to the end of this earth, right? But they failed at that. And Paul says these things are written that you might know. That we can look at those and we can learn from those things. He says in verse number 16, hold fast to the word of life. Hold fast to the word of life. Because we hold fast to the word of life, we're going to be full of light. You know, the word of God itself is life. And if we hold on to the word of God, we are going to have life and have it abundantly. It contains life. And this world that's out there does not have life because it does not have God, nor do some of them even know who God is. So we've got to hold on to God's word because it gives us life. And it's your life. Listen to me now. It's not anybody else's life over and above yours. It is your life. And he calls us to give that life that we have over and above ourselves to consider somebody else. Especially when it comes to teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do that, we're going to be found acceptable to God without blemish, he says in the day of Christ. Well, that's what we're looking for, right? Without blemish in the day of Christ, standing there at the judgment without excuse. Stand at the judgment without complaint. Stand at the judgment being approved of by God. Well, that's what we want right there. That's what we want. We want. Go ahead. I would have complained about this because I'd have worn a pair of new shoes. Yes. I mean, you know, look, the way that the styles change now. Now, you know, you got to get that new, you know, got to get it in, sister, bro. I'd have been coming, well, what you doing, God? I need a new robe here. Huh? My sandals are still the same sandals. Come on now.
Christian, when we grumble and complain like that, that shows we don't have a true belief in Christ. You know, we grumble and complain, a lot of times the things that we say and the things that we do wrong.
And regret it after.
Right.
Now, these things were written as examples for us that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as is written. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, these things happen as an example, but they are written down for our instruction on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he, 1 Corinthians 10:6-12, right? It's poison. And it's poison to our lives, no one else's life but ours. So we've got to reject that urge to complain and dispute. We've got to reject that, all right? And recognize that in Christ we are without blemish, we're without blame. So there's no reason to complain if we live in our lives in Christ. When we grumble and complain, we jeopardize our relationship with God. You got to overcome it with the words of life. It's about the graciousness of God. It's about the grace of God and his mercy, right? And that has to infiltrate our hearts and our minds so we can be glad about what God has done for us. So we can be content about the things that God has done for us. People say it all the time. That's the cliche. They say God is good, and the chant says, what? But we chant that, and we say it, but do we believe that over and above what God is doing for us even now? Because God owes us absolutely nothing, but he has richly blessed us all and continues to do so. That's all I got for you. That's it. Stunned. You live a Christian all your life, and all of a sudden you fall, and people see that. And they don't count you, your goodness and your righteousness. They count that one what? All the time. All the time. And we do it to our children and our relatives as well. We can remember things way back when the boy was 10, when he had a bad temper, and now he's a grown man. You hadn't saw him for 26 years, and all you talk about is, remember when you had a bad temper? What the? Am I right? Am I? God does not hold those things against us. Indeed, indeed. All of us have our weaknesses and our foibles. All of us do. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God, and we all complain and we all worry, as God tells us not to do. Two words for you, because I said I was finished. Stop it. Stop it. Anybody got anything else to say over and above this class? We're getting ready to move into our next phase of Sunday morning. Nobody? We good? Father, thank you so much for this day, this time, this hour that you've allowed us to come and study your word. As that our hearts and mind may have been open to these things that you've prepared for us, and that we might understand your grace and your mercy and your love, and that we might not take for granted the fact that you have supplied us with everything that we need for life and godliness, and that we might continue, Father, to be a people that are called for you, that live in Christ without spot or blemish. And as we wait for that great and wonderful day to appear, we ask, Father, that our hearts and minds might certainly be surrendered to you, that we might hear your welcome voice calling us into glory. These are all things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.